Governor Rick Snyder.
Let's all sing it now. Nerd, nerd, nerd is the word. Nerd, nerd, nerd is the word. Nerd, nerd, nerd is the word. Have you heard? Rick is the nerd. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Ron, for that introduction. Appreciate that. Well, please be seated. I'm excited. This is a great turnout. It's great to see your excitement and the support for the party. I'm proud to be with you tonight. This is an important opportunity to talk about what's going on in Michigan. I want to thank everyone for their hard work. Dave, thanks for your leadership. Ron, thanks for that great introduction. I see Ruth there. It's great to see Ruth. And so many friends here. Because if you step back and look at it, if you go back to when I first met Ron, I was thinking about that. It was about 4.5 years ago. It was actually in his office here in Kalamazoo. And when we got together, it was clear Michigan was a broken state. Our economy was broken. And beyond that, our government was broken. If you remember back, and fortunately most of us have forgotten it, we actually shut down state government 2 of the 3 years before I became governor in terms of budget shutdowns. And I see we have some great representatives, legislators here who lived through that. Those weren't good times. And so if you go back to 2010, we did something exceptional. Not me, but we. We made a decision it was time to reinvent Michigan. And we executed on that plan. And if you go back to 2010, it wasn't about me getting elected governor. We swept the table. We did win all those offices. And when you win all the offices, you have a responsibility to follow through. And that was something I was proud of. When I was out on the campaign trail back in 2010, people said, how do you want to be measured? What's your legacy? And I told them then two things. And I'd tell you the same two things today. First, did I do what I said I was going to do? Because that's the starting point of building trust, of building success. The second thing is did we go out and create a long-term foundation of success? It had nothing to do with me ever being governor. But did we take on the hard problems that we all know were out there? Some of them were out there for 5 years, 10 years. In the case of Detroit, it was out there for 60 years. And to say, we're not going to let those problems just continue to exist. We're going to take them on and put in common sense solutions and say, let's clear the ground so there can be a strong foundation for future governors, for future leaders in our state, for the children and our children and their children to say they don't need to think about the messes we either created or we inherited. That they can just build and look towards a bright future. That's what the goal was and still is. Now the good part is we're making tremendous progress towards that. It's working. In fact, we've seen tremendous progress. And Ron mentioned a couple of those things. Over 220,000 private sector jobs created. And when people say, what kind of jobs are there? These are good jobs, folks. We are number 4 in the country in the creation of high-paying jobs. We are number 6 in the creation of middle-paying jobs. So these weren't entry-level jobs. These are well-paying jobs. Number 1 in manufacturing jobs, number 3 in high-tech jobs. And it's not just about the creation of the jobs, it's personal income was a big deal too. Because we still have too much unemployment and underemployment and the wage losses that people suffered. We used to be in the teens in terms of personal income per capita of the United States, in the teens. By the time 2009 rolled around, we'd gotten down to close to 40th or so. We dropped that far. But we're coming back. This last year, we were number 1 among the Great Lakes states and number 7 in the country. These are things to be really proud of. And that's going to continue. That's the point. With all we've gotten done, now's not the time to be complacent nor content. Now's the time to continue on that path. And in terms of what's been our role, because again, this is about all of us doing this together. Those of us in government, one of the key things I thought was important back in that time frame was, let's define why we exist.
When was the last time you heard anyone bring up the question, why does government exist? Because when I looked at it, coming from the private sector to the public sector, the way I saw it is too much of government was becoming something about taking money from one person and giving it to somebody else. That's not why government should exist. It's not to take and spend money. It's to give efficient, effective, and accountable government in terms of great services to our citizens. You're my customer. I wake up every day saying how I can serve you better, the 10 million people of Michigan and the organizations in our state. And in fact, I'll tell you something you probably even never even thought of. And I know you don't feel that way when you pay your tax bill. But my long-term goal is to make you feel good that you bought the right amount of government. Isn't that the way it should be? To have you feel you made a smart purchase decision, because you have many competing choices in your life. But there are some things we do need to do through government, but I want you to feel like you've purchased the right amount. That's what we should be about. And so that's what our mission is. And that's what we're delivering on. And I'm proud to say, you put in place a great team to do that over the last few years. I see a number of senators and representatives here. They've been fabulous partners. All the senators and representatives, put up your hand, because I didn't get a chance to see you all. We sneaked up. Come on, let's get you up and give you a round of applause. Now, I think you all should have gotten these. I hope they're on the tables. But to give you an idea, I'm not going to go through what we've done because you'd probably fall asleep. It's a pretty long list. And to give you an illustration, there's a document on your table. Here's the list, folks. I hope we've exceeded your expectations. This is what we've gotten done in 3 years. Just think what can happen in 5 more, folks. So let me jump ahead to that. There are 4 things I want to share with you about the future of Michigan in terms of things that I think are really important we work on. First, let's keep up the more and better jobs pay. We've done some critically important things, such as getting rid of the Michigan business tax, the dumbest tax in the United States. We've done regulatory reform. We've done right to work to send the message that Michigan's a place open for business. But looking to our future, we can innovate. We can be smarter and better than the rest of the states in how we do things. And one of the coolest things we have going that you may not be that familiar with is something called Pure Michigan Business Connect. If you remember the old way that Michigan government used to bring jobs into the state was the state would go out and try to buy people into Michigan with huge tax credit deals. That was dumb. I called it the heroin drip of government. We've gotten rid of those, large. I mean, they don't make sense. What have we done, Pure Michigan Business Connect? That's about good neighbor policy, about helping connect businesses to one another, and we're helping facilitate that. We're helping businesses meet one another to say they can be a customer or a supplier to one another. And that may sound simple, but what we've done over the last 2 years is I can tell you we can account for over $1.6 billion of additional business being done in Michigan that was previously being done in other places. That equates to about 8,000 jobs right there. Simply connecting people to say, buy from your neighbor. Now, another topic we need to keep going on is our education system. In fact, I call it P20, prenatal through lifelong learning, because it's about creating a more seamless system to make it easier for people in the system to see what their choices are, all options, alternatives, and to be successful in that system. So some of the cool things I'm proud of is we've done some great things on that list. I'm not going to go through that. But a couple new ones, relatively recent ones, we can keep emphasizing. First, what we're investing in preschool. We did a last year. I hope I get good support again from my partners to do it for a second year, because I had a kindergarten teacher come up to me in the fall and said, I've got two kids in my class, new kindergartners, that can't name a color. What do you think their future is if you can't name a color by the time you get to kindergarten? It's not good, folks. That's a loss for all of us. So what we're doing in the budget over these two-year period is we're making Michigan a no-wait state for preschool education. That's something that's going to pay dividends for decades and generations in our state. And I think it's something we should all get behind and support. And we are leading the nation in doing that. We're doing a better job than anyone else in terms of making this investment over a couple of years. Another area we can emphasize more is dual enrollment, about getting an environment where kids have the opportunity to earn college and high school credit at the same time, because college is too expensive, and we're working on that. But think about the opportunity. If you can earn a year of college while you're still in high school, you save 25% on a bachelor's degree, 50% on an associate's degree. That's huge. Believe me, I'm a nerd. I started college when I was a junior in high school. It works. The third thing is a new one for many of you, but I believe it's critically important to Michigan's future. It's about a skilled trade gap that we have. In terms of a gap, in terms of we have many open jobs, many people looking for work, but they don't have all the skills they need to be successful. And if you go back and look at it, we did the right thing when we emphasized people getting a university degree, but something we didn't do right is we should have been equally emphasizing that someone should get a career tech education and be successful in a trade. There are tens of thousands of opportunities, and I intend to have Michigan be the leader in making that connection between the demand for talent, particularly the skilled trades, and the supply of talent, the creation of talent through our education system, and connect those two worlds. I call it talent in the three C's, connecting those people together. And we have a program I'm going to mention to you that's really cool. We brought the German apprenticeship model to Michigan recently. We've got about 24 students in the program today. And the way it works is they applied, they got in the program, they start working for the company immediately. They go 7 weeks with the company, they go 7 weeks full-time to school. And they're going to do that for 3 years. So they're getting paid during this time period by the company for their work. The company's paying for their associate's degree. After 3 years, they'll come out with an associate's degree, a trade certificate in America, actually a trade certificate from the Germans. If they're successful, they have a guaranteed job and a work commitment for 2 years. Isn't that cool? Great paying jobs. It's in mechatronics. These are the folk that are going to be running the robotics equipment on the production floor. And they're going to have a job for their entire career. Let's do that in so many other fields all across Michigan. What a great opportunity. The fourth thing I mentioned to you is about good government. And the good part is we've been rock-solid, balanced budgets. We're paying down debt. It's this long-term liability question about paying down debt I want to emphasize to you, though. We're being responsible. We're not thinking like politicians. Again, the normal political model is you think about a year or a term. We do 40-year forecasts, folks. I can tell you if you want a really cool job in Michigan, run for governor in 2038. That's when you want the job. Awesome. That Michigan will largely be paid down. Isn't that cool to think about, though? But that's the way we're thinking. The way we would is if we're acting as a family of 10 million people. And that's how you achieve the best results. So those are the four things that I think we should really be focused in on over the next few years and deliver on those. We've done a tremendously successful three-year time period here with many of my colleagues. Again, this is a partnership that really works well. But we can't do it without you. And if you step back and think about it, I hope you feel really proud now. And when you go home tonight, you should take great pride, because I'll come back to that second part of the legacy thing I mentioned. is you're helping build a foundation to say, we're cleaning up all the messes that we can find. We're cleaning up those messes. So there's going to be a rock-solid foundation for our kids and our kids' kids to build a bright future on. Because think back to 2009. How many people believed Michigan's best days were behind us? Now think now. We're starting to see many more people. And I tell you, that's what drives me every day to get up, is our brightest days are ahead of us. It's simply up to us to say, we're going to make sure we follow through as Michiganders and deliver on that. I'm committed to doing that. I know my partners in the legislature are committed to doing that. I know you're committed to doing that. So let's just get the job done. Thank you so much. Well, thank you very much. Please have a seat. I think we'll do some questions and answers. Would you like to do some of those? I think we're going to put the speaker to work. Thank you.
Test, test.
We're bringing a mic, Jason.
That's what Jace usually says when I'm talking. I can't hear you, Governor.
We try to keep that to a minimum, Governor. I was saying, as I pulled in, as many of us pulled in, we saw the protesters jeering your arrival. It just what spurred to me was, we owe you gratitude. Thank you for making the tough but necessary decision to drive our state forward. Now, it is my job to make sure that this audience asks you tough questions right now. So does anybody have a question for the governor? Now's your chance. Great. I see a young individual here. Let me pick on somebody who's young. They're our future. Is your Nick? Would you stand? Nick, do you have a question for the governor?
Thanks, Dad.
Planted.
No Lakeview High questions now. Let's behave.
Governor, I was just wondering which chamber is your favorite, the House or the Senate?
That's a good question, son.
At this specific moment, I'll go with the House. I think that would be the best choice right now.
Woo! Sorry, Tom.
Now, if you pass the mic around, I could give you an answer differently pretty quick.
How about another question?
I have so many teacher friends that... to defend anything against them when they are blasting you left and right. So give me the short, succinct answer for me to go to teacher friends that think that money, and I know the answers, I know what you're doing, but give me an answer to give to these teachers to support what you're doing.
Yeah, there's a number of pieces to that. Because if you step back and look at it, it's much like, why does government exist? Why do we have an education system? And I always start with that. The point of having an educational system is to give an effective education to all students in Michigan and prepare them for a career in life. And that's not something that was being defined the right way. Mm-hmm. It was too much about money and still is too much about money. And so that's where we've done a number of great reforms. Tenure reform, we're working on teacher effectiveness now. And when I say teacher effectiveness, that's to empower teachers to be even more successful. Because teachers are critically important. We want inspired teachers. We want motivated, passionate teachers. And we want to really encourage the best teachers. And we need mechanisms to help teachers that are struggling. And that is the real focus. And in terms of resources, we've made massive investments in K-12 education in our state. So when you hear I cut education, I'll give you the simple facts. Because they'll use federal dollars. They're talking about stimulus dollars that disappeared, and they'll say that was part of the cut. Well, those were federal dollars that were only intended to be there for a couple years. We've invested in the last 3 years, first 3 years of my administration, over $1.2 billion additional dollars in K-12. The budget I just proposed is $1 billion higher than the year before I took office. And to make it clearer for your teacher friends, one thing you should reinforce to them, we have actually put a lot of money into MPSRS, which is the retirement program for teachers, because it was not being funded the way it needed to be funded. And that's where many of those resources are going, but they free up dollars that can go in the classroom. And secondly, those teachers now can have confidence they're going to have a retirement, that if this wasn't going to be done, it's not clear they would have a retirement they could count on. And I want to make sure they have something they can count on. Those are important things.
We'll come over here to the mayor for the next question. Welcome, Governor. You didn't mention the other dumb tax, the personal property tax, okay? And obviously, it's there's a movement with that. And as mayor of a city, we're concerned about that, but I'm also interested in your conversation, your thoughts, to tell the citizens what's going to happen with personal property tax, as well as local elected officials.
Oh, a great question, Mayor. After the Michigan business tax, the second dumbest tax when I took office was the personal property tax on industrial equipment, which basically said if you have machinery and equipment, we're going to put an extra tax on it to tell you you should go to another state. So we had to get rid of that too. And the issue is I was much more careful about that because my concern is that's a revenue source for local jurisdictions. And you're my partner. So my goal is to help you be successful also. Not just us, but you need to succeed because we all need to serve our citizens. So what we did is let's say, how do we replace that? So I think we've got a great solution in place now, which is basically a couple steps. One is in August, you're going to find on the ballot something to say, let's earmark part of the use tax at the state level to go give replacement revenue to your local jurisdictions. And we plan on replacing 100% of the resources. Again, I can't speak to every jurisdiction, but overall, that's the model. So I encourage you to vote yes on this. Now the question becomes, how did the state manage to pay for that if they're replacing all that revenue? Well, remember I talked about those tax credits, about how dumb they were too, and how I didn't think they were a good idea? Give you an idea of size and magnitude of those tax credits. Each year I've been in office, roughly I start $500 million in the hole to do our budget. That's how much in tax credits per year we've been roughly paying out that we committed to. Those are going to wind down. So as they disappear, we actually have more revenue at the state level, and we're taking that revenue to, in effect, cycle through that use tax mechanism so it doesn't cost you any additional money to have the personal property tax on industrial property go away. And I think we have a good solution for local jurisdictions. So vote yes, please.
All right, how about the next question? We'll come over on this side of the room.
Thank you, son. he started.
Roads. I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah, thanks.
I've been on this for 2 years now. We need to invest about an additional $1 billion a year in our roads, folks. You can call it a lot of different things, but what I call it is a smart investment. And why do I say that? I'm a CPA. I don't believe in just spending money. I believe it actually saves us money by making that investment. What do I mean by that? How many of you have a vehicle? Hold your hand up if you have a vehicle. Okay. Now the next question, how many of you changed the oil in your car? Put your hand up if you do. Okay. Who here has a vehicle you don't change the oil in? Anybody? Oh, there's one guy sort of put his hand up. I think that's why he may be sitting way in the back. But if you look at it, why do you change the oil? It costs you money, right? Because it saves you money, because you'd otherwise have to rebuild your engine. That's what I'm talking about here, because we've lived for it for how many times? If we don't invest that, what we're seeing now is only going to get worse and worse and worse. Think about roads twice as bad, three times as bad in 10 years that we have today. That's what we're facing, folks. So I know it's a topic people don't like to hear about, but we need to be smart about figuring out how to make that investment. because we're seeing the early part of pothole season. This isn't official pothole season yet, folks. So when you hear about the solution of $100 million or a couple $100 million, somebody threw that number out, that's not going to solve the road problem at all. That basically pays for salt over time and some asphalt. So we still need a permanent solution. So I encourage you to do that. One other thing I'll mention to you, and again, I don't want to scare you, but you need to understand the magnitude of our problem. If you go to and from work or you're traveling and you go over eight or more, over or under eight or more bridges, statistically, one of those bridges is structurally deficient. It doesn't mean it's unsafe right now, but it's been rated as structurally deficient. This is a problem we need to solve. And in fact, one of the ways to pay for it is if you look at Michigan's automotive repair costs. We compared it in Michigan to the surrounding states. We're about $150 more per vehicle than the surrounding states. So there's a way to pay for a whole bunch of that cost right there. By having better roads, making that cost go away, that can offset a huge amount of any challenge we have. So wouldn't you rather see it in better roads than paying for a new tire or a new wheel rim? So I really encourage you to speak up to your legislators. I don't get to get away with that one very often. But again, this is about having a dialogue. And what I would say is we have an opportunity to do this. And again, we can do this over time, but we do need to get a concerted effort to get on top of this issue. So I would appreciate your support.
All right, let's change that subject. Next question.
And while he's getting another question, let's give a shout out for the speaker. He's done a great job helping lead the House.
Governor, thanks for coming tonight. Speaking of the theme of auto, why don't we talk about Michigan's auto insurance?
Yeah, I think there's some really good things going on through the House of Representatives in terms of talking about some reforms, and I'm serious about that. I really do appreciate the House and the Speaker coming forward with some things on potentially reforming NOFOL. Because the real issue there is our system doesn't work well, and it's only going to continue to get more expensive. We build a system that's not sustainable, and we can actually reduce auto rates while still making sure we're taking care of people that get injured. If you look at us compared to surrounding states, our system is way out of whack. And so I really appreciate the House coming forward and their leadership on talking about reforms in this area. This is something that we should work on because, again, it's a way to better serve you in terms of a better long-term answer.
All right, that felt much better. How about the next question?
I got the mic.
No, you don't do that.
And as the MC ranked tonight knows, worst thing you can do is give Joel Holt of Freedom Firearms a microphone.
You don't need a mic.
Governor, one industry that has really not only survived but thrived throughout the last decade has been the firearms industry. We obviously had a horrible tragedy here a little over a year ago, and during that time, there's a lot of anti-gun legislation going on in a lot of states, and there was a lot of jobs being pushed out of those states. How much has Michigan done or is doing to get some of those jobs? For instance, Remington just relocated down to Alabama and took 2,000 skilled jobs down to Huntsville. I would be very interested in courting some of those industries and getting those very highly skilled and well-paying jobs here in this state. I know I talked to Mike Pfeiffer of Ruger, and he was particularly interested in finding out that Michigan's now a right-to-work state, so we've done some great things that I think can court some of those countries or companies. So what can we do to get some of that business here?
Well, we're doing the same thing with every industry. Because the way I view it is as part of government, not getting in the winners and losers business. But again, I'm excited about having manufacturers in Michigan. So we're encouraging manufacturers of all sorts to look at our state. And the most important thing is I can tell you, to attract them is one thing, but the comeback of Michigan is going to be based on mainly on people already here. So you always start with what I describe as economic gardening as opposed to hunting. For the business people here, you know this. If you have a challenge business and you have things going on in your business, do you take care of your current customers first or go after new customers? You always go after current customers first. So I appreciate your comment. My first focus is to make sure we're doing the best job, keep every Michigan company happy, have entrepreneurs here growing companies, but we also are looking to bring companies both in other industries, other fields to Michigan, both from other places in the country and internationally. And so we do that on a broad base basis, and I think right to work is one of those issues that's helping attract them now. We used to get excluded off the list. So we're seeing things fill up our pipeline now in terms of opportunities that we got screened out. We never got a fair shot to tell our story. And the best thing we should be proud of, and it goes back to that talent thing, how I mentioned about that apprenticeship program, we have the most talented workers and hardworking people in the country. And we need to spread that message. And I've heard that over and over again. As we've seen some of the auto manufacturers, they went south. If you talk to the people that have plants in the south and plants in Michigan, they'll tell you the best people are right here. So let's spread that word.
All right, and we have time for one more question. I'll tell you what, let's go back here to another question from somebody who's younger than I am. And we'll finish.
How hard is that, Jace?
It's getting less hard by the day.
I'm an old guy. I can get away with that crap.
All right, your final question, Governor.
Barely younger, by the way. So, Governor, I have a question for you. It's a tough signature that you had with Medicaid expansion. You were put between a rock and a hard place. Basically, in my opinion, the way it works is the federal government coerces the states into bigger government because the states expand Medicaid at the expense of federal taxpayers' dollars. So it's like a dog-eat-dog system for the states, and they're coerced into bigger government at the expense of other states. So my question for you is, will you be a vocal voice in opposition to coercion from the federal government to have the states increase and expand the size of government?
Well, I think we're a role model for government done right already. I mean, I was just on national news today, this afternoon on Cavuto, and I made the point to them to say Washington's a mess. And I said, I describe it as the big three. The big three issues that if you look at what's holding back our economic recovery in many respects in this country is the lack of a balanced budget, a truly balanced budget at the federal level, the massively increasing long-term debts and deficits you find at the national level, and the need for a simple, fair, and efficient tax system, the need for tax reform at the federal level. Folks, we did that in year one in Michigan. So I think we are being an outstanding role model in terms of doing that. To go to your comment specifically, the Affordable Care Act is probably one of the most polarizing issues we've had in our country in decades, and that's a bad thing. The issue is we have a healthcare crisis that the Affordable Care Act is not going to solve, too. So to be open with you, you've seen my style. I'm not a negative person. And to be open with you, people like to use the word fight a lot. I don't believe I've fought with anyone, even on right to work, since I've taken office. Because you didn't hire me to fight. You hired me to solve problems. And I'm here to solve problems. And I'm going to stay relentless in the pursuit of positive action to solve problems. So on the healthcare question, what I think really needs to take place is you're going to have people keep on fighting about it. Who's stepping up? Who's standing up to say, here's a better solution? Isn't the best answer, instead of having people continually to polarize our country, to step up and say, this didn't work the way it should. It didn't answer all the questions. We have important things that haven't been addressed. And I've been clear about that since they started working on this thing. They didn't address wellness appropriately. They didn't address medical home appropriately. They didn't address the concept of cost containment appropriately. And to be open with you, I would rather spend my time working with really smart people coming up to what the proposal and the solution is to show we're about solutions. We're about solving problems to advance our country, not picking a fight with our neighbor.
And we have to wrap it up, Governor, but I want to end where we started, and that imagining those protesters outside, who I suspect many of them were paid to be out there. And you look at this room, there's more than 10 times the number of people in this room who paid their money to come in here to support you. So I'd like this room to show our appreciation and encouragement for the governor, the next governor of the state of Michigan, Rick Snyder.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you. Thank you.